Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We just had our first major individual event of the college tennis season this past weekend, the ITA All-Americans going on in Tulsa. Congratulations to both Ashley Leahy, who won on the women's side, and I believe Yaya Ito of Texas winning on the men's side. So shout out to them. But in the theme of college tennis, I am so happy to bring on today's guests. The former world junior number three took college tennis by storm last year, finishing the season as the ACC Freshman of the Year and all ACC first team member, perhaps more impressively to him and his parents, all ACC academic team as well, the complete package. And then, of course, last week, he's coming off of a semifinal appearance at the Fairfield Challenger. Brandon Nakashima, welcome to the Cracked Interviews podcast.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, look, you've accomplished quite a bit over a short period of time. Not the worst 2019 for Brandon Nakashima.
Yeah, it's been good this year. I've been playing some pretty good tennis, and hopefully I finish out the year strong.
Absolutely. I do want to start with that Fairfield semifinal. Obviously, you've played a lot of professional tennis since your freshman season ended, but to go to Fairfield, get a couple of top 150 wins along the way, how are you feeling after a run like that?
Yeah, after that tournament, I definitely gained a lot of confidence in my game, and it definitely shows that I have the game to compete with the top pros. And just hopefully continue playing well for the rest of the year.
Be honest, I know you were slated to have a rematch with fellow UVA, now grad, but Ty Kwiatkowski in the round of 32. You think he was ducking you? He didn't want a second back-to-back shot?
I'm not sure, actually. I mean, he seemed pretty injured, but I know him pretty well, and he seems to be a pretty good guy. So, hopefully he gets better soon.
No, of course, just messing around there. I mean, it was so fun to watch you guys play in Tiburon. That was obviously a great match. And that speaks to, the past three challengers you've played in September. You get two wins in Cary. You do beat Ty there, lose to Tommy in the round of 16. You make the quarterfinal in Tiburon, then the semifinal in Fairfield. What for you do you feel is clicking right now with your game? Is it something mentally, something physically, a way you attacked, the off season? What for you do you think has allowed you to have so much success on the court this past month?
I think it's a lot mentally too. I mean, just feeling good out there on the court and believing in myself that I can compete with those top pros, and then obviously physically from the college season has really helped me gain a lot of confidence in my physical aspect, and just being prepared mentally and physically for every match has been really good.
This is a stupid thing, but is it nice to have ad scoring back?
it's a little nice. It's not as it's not as hectic during the match.
Luck of the draw.
You could play the points a little bit more freely and stuff, and not have to worry about the deuce points and just worry about playing your game.
No, of course. Well, you mentioned physically the jump you took this past year in college. For listeners who don't know, I believe you were 17 throughout the college tennis season, when obviously in America, being 17 in college, you're young. I know you have turned 18 recently, so happy belated birthday to you. But
yeah, thank you.
When you talk about the jumps you made physically and mentally, can you just be a little bit more specific? What are you talking about in particular? Do you think it's, you've always been a physically fit player. Have you gotten quicker, stronger? What is it that this next year later has really clicked specifically?
So the college season, definitely helped me both mentally and physically, and I think most of all maturity too. I mean, it definitely helped me to be on my own out there and take care of myself and organize everything, going to classes and practices and stuff. But yeah, the physicality part of it, I mean, college definitely helped me with that, with like a lot of matches pretty much every weekend, and then training during the weekdays with fitness every day is really helpful. And usually just going out there every day with the right attitude and yeah, staying confident in my game, it has really helped me with that aspect. And it definitely shows the past few months with the recent success in the Challengers.
I mean, you're just so calm out there, if you don't mind me saying. I mean, in particular, I watched that Tiburon match against Ty, and I mean, it's third set breaker, and I think you swung your racket once, or like you raised your hands in a like slight frustration. I was like, whoa, like, I think that's some emotion from Brandon. Like, that's how we know it's six all in the third. It's just so impressive to me. What do you focus on? What allows you to stay so stoic, to not, you know, not even let out a come on? You're just so even keeled. What is it that you're focusing on during matches that allows you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I just try to stay as calm as possible out there. I mean, not try to show too much emotion, because it definitely affects both me and my opponent. I mean, if I show a lot of emotion, then he knows that I'm feeling it, and maybe he'll play better, or maybe I'll play worse. So, I mean, just stay calm out there, even keeled, and yeah, just focusing on my game, and yeah, just staying calm out there really helps me to push through those like, tight moments and stuff.
And focusing on your game has clearly worked. As I mentioned, this three straight run of Challenger success. Now, last year in the fall, you did win your first Futures event in Laguna Niguel. But I'm curious for you, because you do have a season of college tennis under your belt, and I promise fans we'll talk about that in a second. But in terms of translating the level from Challenger or from college to Challengers, you know, you played two singles for UVA all year long, but you had guys like Henrik, like Ash, like Carl in practice to drill with. And then, you know, you're playing a match against Petros Risokos, defending NCAA singles champion, a guy who, in my opinion, is certainly a challenger level capable player. I'm just curious, from your perspective, how does the level differ, you know, day in, day out on the challenger level versus playing, you know, one, two singles at a high level college tennis program?
Yeah, I mean, the challenger level, I mean, all the guys are a lot more physical and yeah, have a really good game. But I mean, not too much difference from the college level, especially those top guys in the nation from each team. I mean, I think it's more of just the different format that makes it tough. I mean, college is such like a different sport, in my opinion, than the challenger matches, just because of the no ad and just all the electric fans and stuff and everybody screaming during the college matches. But yeah, I mean, playing wise, not too much difference in the challenger level than the top college guys. I mean, they're all such good players. And I mean, it's more of up to me on whether, yeah, to play my game and keep improving at that next level.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're very focused in the moment, but it's rare that you get the chance to hear from someone who's played across three different levels of tennis in a short period of time. You know, you not only have some success here at Challengers in the fall, and then obviously a successful college season early winter, but you also played a couple of junior tournaments this year. You know, you played the U.S. Junior Opens, you made the semifinals there, semifinals of Kalamazoo. I'm curious, because a lot of people, I'm sure, if they have professional tennis as aspirations, they lock in, you know, it's only pro tennis or college from here on in. Why for you was it valuable to, you know, vacillate between all three levels? Was it for wild card purposes? Was it you just wanted to see how you would do? You know, what was the appeal for you to play all of those different types of events?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started playing tennis, I mean, I always thought of going to college and playing for a top level team. So, yeah, I never really thought of turning pro and skipping college anytime before that. And then the juniors, especially this year, I just wanted to just finish it out and try to lock in the wild card from Kalamazoo for the U.S. Open. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. So, I mean, also playing those Grand Slams in the juniors definitely helped me with my mental aspect, also playing with a lot of pressure from the juniors, has definitely helped me grow as a player. And yeah, it's definitely helped me compete in these challenger level matches as well.
Yeah, that's so interesting you say that, because, you know, for people who don't know, you played the Spider-Man himself, Zach Spider, in the semifinals of Kalamazoo. That was a three-set match. But you talk about, you know, the pressure of, you were the number one seed, you were the defending finalist from the year before, experiencing that. Is that experience, you know, a lot of the pressure can be manufactured, but did you feel under the gun this year, knowing that you were the defending finalist and, in many people's mind, the favorite?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough being the number one seed in any tournament at any level. But yeah, there was definitely a lot of pressure after college, playing those junior tournaments, to do well, and everybody expecting for you to win it and to eventually transition to the pros. But yeah, I think it only helps me no matter the result. I mean, it only helps me as a player for the future. I mean, as long as I'm playing tennis, I'm always going to have to deal with pressure at some point. And yeah, especially playing these challenger matches now with no pressure. I mean, it has definitely helped me a lot. And yeah, hopefully I can continue the success on the challenger level.
It shows in your level, and the fact that you, you know, make the round of 16, knock off Duckworth, who I know is top 200 right now, quarterfinals, knock off Taro Daniel, 7-6, 7-6. On that match point, when your ball hits the net and it trickles over, were you apologetic, or after a year of college tennis, are you, you know, you take the let cords now?
I mean, I was a little apologetic. I mean, it's tough to end a match like that, but yeah, it was definitely. I was definitely really happy with the way I played the whole match, and it was really high level tennis throughout the whole match. But yeah, that last point, I mean, definitely got really lucky. But yeah, it's just a combination of the whole match that I played really well.
Yeah, we'll take it. And then obviously you win the first set against Steve Johnson, end up losing in three. Now this week you go to Waco, and, you know, coincidentally you match up with the number one seed Brower in the first round. Now I'm sure you're not thinking about his seed at this point, but for you in general, I talked about the ITA All-American being this past week. You decided to forego that event. We'll get to the big question in a minute, but why did you want to take this fall to play pro tournaments as opposed to going to playing those individual college events?
Yeah, I just wanted to see where my level is compared to these college guys. I mean, yeah, playing all these pro-level matches has definitely given me a lot of confidence in my game. And yeah, it has helped me mature a lot as a player. And it just shows that I have the right game to compete at that high level. And it's just up to me now to put in the hard work and just to try to play well every single time.
Now, you talk about that level. You're ranked in the live rankings a career high, number 487. You've obviously got Waco, but knowing your past, I see a Charlottesville challenger, wild card, if not acceptance, in your future. I'm sure you'll try and dabble in a couple of challengers and events as well down the home stretch. I'll frame it like this so that you don't just get the obvious cop-out, but what would you need to see from yourself to say, hey, my game is ready for professional tennis full time?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, I feel like my game is ready for professional tennis. And yeah, I feel like I'm ready maturity wise to just to go out there competing every single day. And also all the traveling and staying away from home, I feel like I'm ready for that too. So I know that my game is there right now after the past couple of months, and yeah, just hopefully continue playing well.
So do we get to break a little news on this podcast, Brandon? I have to ask you a question. You know, you didn't play the fall events. I think you're still on the roster, but will we be seeing you back at UVA come the winter?
I'm not sure yet. I'll probably decide in a couple weeks, maybe after the Charlottesville Challenger. But yeah, it's obviously a really tough decision, and yeah, I have to think a lot about it.
I had the breaking news sound effect ready to go. We'll have to keep it on standby. You know, in the yeah, Alex yeah. Ruskin Yeah, in the Alex Gruskin odds books, we've had you and obviously potential incoming freshman Jensen Brooks be on the podcast recently. And it's like, you know, I think you're probably minus 130 compared to Jensen to come back to college, but rough bets on either of you guys. I mean, you're top 500. I understand. And I guess for you, as you're weighing that, you talked about physically, mentally, all of these things lining up. But you also mentioned that being ready for the travel, being ready for the week in, week out grind of the tour. You know, how's your experience with that thus far? Does it help that you traveled a little bit in the juniors as well? You know, you've played in many different continents. Does that help you get ready for the life, the grind of the life on tour?
Yeah, it definitely helps me getting ready for the life on tour, playing those junior events. I mean, pro tour is obviously a lot harder. So, I mean, yeah, the last few months I've enjoyed traveling, and pretty much actually all my life I've enjoyed traveling, going from different cities and competing at tournaments. So, I mean, yeah, it's fun for me to go to different cities and playing against all these good players. And just getting that experience to compete at that highest level.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
No, I can imagine that must be fun to get to travel around the world. And obviously, you must love tennis a little bit if you're willing to do that. So I want to backtrack a little bit for our listeners, take you to a young Brandon Nakashima, just, you know, a low-care West Coast kid trying to figure out what he wants to do with his life. How did you come across the game of tennis and get into the sport?
Let's see. So, yeah, I think I started playing at 3.5 years old, and I think it was my grandfather that first took me out to the court and just started hand feeding me balls, and I just started playing once in a while, and then I think at the age of 10, 11, 12, I started getting more serious about it, started playing some local tournaments, and I think when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, I kind of realized that I was pretty good at the sport. And I just started getting more serious and started playing more national tournaments. And just keep building from there.
And a lot of people play other sports as well when they're younger, you know, trying to figure out. For you, was it always tennis? Were there other considerations? Or was it just, you know, I'm like you mentioned, I'm pretty good at this sport, might as well just stick with it?
That's pretty much always. I mean, I like playing other sports for fun with friends during my free time, but I was always pretty much on the tennis court all the time.
And for you, you know, you the fact that you're 18 still blows my mind, as you've played a full season of college tennis and done all of these different things. But a big year to circle, 2017 for you. Not only, you know, you make the final of the Newport Beach ITF, you dabble a little bit in international tennis as well, making the finals in Vancouver. And then, of course, you win 16's Kalamazoo. You talked about this idea of always wanting to go to college tennis. That's something you had always envisioned. When you start to have results like that, I'm sure it's impossible to keep pro tennis out of your mind. So I guess my question to you is, you said you started taking it seriously at 12 and 13, but when did pro tennis become not only realistic, but an aspiration for you?
I think it was probably when I was 15, 16, I started thinking about pro tennis. I mean, still keeping in mind about college and playing a full college season has always been in the back of my mind. But yeah, at that age, I mean, it was probably the point where I said I wanted to play tennis professionally, and just keep competing in this sport, and just being ready for that with practices and tournaments.
And for you, as I mentioned, for that 16 singles title, not only you win there, but in the final, you beat your doubles partner, Stefan Dostanich, 0-1 in the final. Now, for our listeners who don't know, you and Stefan lost first round of the doubles. Be honest, that helps, right? It's like, you were my doubles partner, but we didn't really do well, so I can, you know, whoop your...
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely tough going out in the first round of the doubles. I mean, I think it was the first or second day of the tournament. So, I mean, it's always tough losing a match at the beginning of the tournament and having to bounce back in singles. But, yeah, it definitely actually helped me to only be focused on singles from that point. And, yeah, eventually it helped me stay have a lot of energy for that final and was able to play well throughout the whole tournament.
See, that was a mature answer. So whether you, I don't think you need to go back to college if you need any more media prep. You're ready for that. But in terms of, you're telling me you didn't look at Stefan and you're like, dude, we lost first round. I have to crush you now.
I wasn't really thinking about that, actually. I was just focused on winning that singles final, but, yeah, after we lost that doubles, I wasn't really thinking about doubles after that.
No, that's why you're good, and I do these interviews. But so for you now, just to stick on Kalamazoo for a little bit, because you've had a ton of success there. You made the final in 2018. I want to ask about the 3 out of 5 set thing for you. So in 2018, let's see, if you turned 18 this year, let's do a little math. You would have been around 16 or 17 at the time of that Kalamazoo. When you're four, you know, not only had you just played a week long of high level tennis, but now in that final, you know, it's going to be 3 out of 5 set match. What is that like to prepare for, you know, physically and mentally? Was that something, you know, you're the number 3 seed in the tournament. Is that something you were simulating in preparation for Kalamazoo to get ready for? Or do you think you're just fit enough at that point you can throw in an extra set?
I wasn't actually sure if I was fit enough to play 3 out of 5 at that point. I mean, it was definitely a long tournament, and having to play 3 out of 5 at the end was really tough, especially against Jensen, who was cruising through all his matches and playing at a high level the whole tournament. But that day I was just telling myself to just try my best and just keep playing every point with as much intensity as I could. And unfortunately it was kind of tough that day because Jensen played really well, but it definitely showed me that in order to play professional tennis at the highest level, my fitness definitely had to go up.
Sure, but for you in that 2018, that Kalamazoo final, but then, you know, quarterfinals, Easter Bowl, you win the International Spring Championships, you go quarterfinals at Junior French Open, you win in Roehampton, quarterfinals, Junior U.S. Open as well, you go and play the ITF Junior Masters events. For you at that time, given, you know, where your level was at, your commitment to UVA, you know, your announcement, hey, I'm leaving high school early, I'm going to go play the 2019 season at Virginia, came as a bit of a shock to fans in college tennis. So at that point, in that moment, you know, you said you always planned to go to college tennis, but what was it about UVA in particular for a kid from California that made you, you know, make that decision to go there and get in college tennis as opposed to turning pro?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the college process, I wasn't thinking about University of Virginia at all. I mean, I was thinking mostly about California schools, and I think Virginia was the only East Coast school that I visited. But after talking with the coach a lot and hanging out with all the guys and talking with all the alumni and stuff, I really fell in love with that program, and I really knew that it was the right place for me, especially I was thinking about it was definitely going to help me mature as well, being away from home and stuff. And being out there by myself has definitely helped me in every aspect of mental and physical mind.
That's really interesting that you mentioned that, because the tennis appeal of a school like UVA is pretty obvious, right?
Right.
They have the success they've had, four out of five, or they won three in a row, four out of five this decade, maybe the school of the decade on the men's side, college tennis-wise. But getting away from home, that was something that you valued through the recruiting process?
Yeah, at the beginning, I wasn't really thinking too much about leaving home, and I was pretty close to home and my parents, my family, but once I ventured out and started playing a lot of the junior tournaments, I knew that I was going to have to travel a lot and be away from home. So I mean, that definitely played a role in my decision to just prepare me for that professional life of traveling and being away from home and stuff.
It wasn't Henrik's ponytail. You weren't like, this is the school for me.
No. I mean, once I first got there and he had it, I was like, oh, what are you doing with that? I mean, I didn't really like it too much, but I mean, it was up to him. And I mean, it worked for us on the court.
No, of course. Yeah. You're like, dude, I'm going to hit your bun on my serve. Like, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
It's a moving target. And so, no, I totally feel that. But yeah, so you join a school like UVA, and we kind of talked about the differences in level. But for you, both academically and just tennis wise, what were the biggest changes as you started your semester at UVA?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it wasn't too much of a change from what I was used to, because throughout like the juniors and stuff, especially when I was at home, I was always on the go from practice and then to school and then studying. So it was pretty much a full day of training and a full schedule. So I mean, going to college, it wasn't too much of a change in that aspect, because I was always used to the full schedule and always being hectic throughout the day, rushing from the courts to classes and stuff. But just again being out there on my own and connecting with all the guys on the team really helped me with being more comfortable out there and feeling like I belong there.
I heard from a member of the team in doing some research that they called you the sneaky funniest member of the UVA men's tennis team. Why do you think they'd feel that way?
I mean, I don't know. At the beginning, I was pretty shy, like with most people. But I mean, once I hung out with them a lot, and I got to know them a lot more. I mean, we started cracking a lot of jokes and stuff. And I mean, by the end of the year, we were all super close, and it was always fun hanging around with them.
And you hear about that aspect so often from people who play college tennis or world team tennis, whatever it is, that team atmosphere, the idea of, because tennis is an individual sport and so often you're just going at it alone, that it's so fun to get to have, you know, this group to go through all of that. For you, as you're making these mental and physical developments in your 1 year, or in your, I'm not going to say 1 year, could be two still, but in your first year at college, what did it mean to have that group to fall back on? You know, what did you take from the experience of getting to have college teammates?
So all throughout my junior career, I mean, I didn't really have too many friends, I mean, close by home, because I was always traveling and going to a small private school. So I mean, didn't really have many friends to just hang out with at nights and stuff. But once I got to college, the team atmosphere was super fun. I mean, we always had a good time together, and being around all those guys definitely helped me a lot, especially with the social aspect and branching out and especially being mature and stuff too.
Again, I could see you being sneaky funny. I totally believe it. I could see like a dry sarcasm out of you, just a one-liner designer. But maybe we'll save that for our rapid fire, because I do have some more teammate questions for you. But in terms of the tennis in college, you know, maybe for the first time, not that you never played doubles before, but you had a full season of doubles, right, where you and Henrik are expected at each and every match, you know, to perform. And you did. You go 20-3 overall on the year. You guys win, I think, your four doubles matches during the NCAA tournament. For you personally, in your tennis development, did playing a season of doubles help you work on things that maybe you don't necessarily get to work on when you're playing singles week in, week out?
Yeah, playing doubles at that college level definitely helped me with my singles game, especially the net play and the transition. I mean, at the end of the year, I felt so much more comfortable at the net, especially both in singles and doubles. I mean, at the beginning of the year, it was a little tough trying to play doubles every match. And, connecting with Henrik at the beginning was a little tough. But, I mean, once we got going and started playing well together, I mean, I've never had that much fun on the doubles court with anybody else.
No, for sure. You learn to poach, you learn to yell, you learn to slap fives in between points, all the different things.
Yeah.
And I imagine you're playing next to Woodall or Getz, and it gets loud. And
yeah.
I imagine that's a lot of fun. But, you know, for you, being a California kid going to UVA, was that your first heavy indoor tennis experience? Because I'm sure you had to practice inside a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely was the first time where I played indoors for a good amount of time. Coming from the West Coast, there's not much indoor tennis because the weather is always nice, especially in San Diego. But playing the indoors was really good for my game, and I felt super comfortable indoors during the middle of the season after I got a few matches under my belt. And at one point, actually, I kind of liked indoors more than outdoors.
That's what I was going to say. Look, I've seen you play a little bit, and you're a very natural ball striker. You love, you know, you're at the baseline hitting big. I feel like with no wind, you must have been like, oh, this is tennis. You're like, who plays like this?
I know, yeah. It was perfect. It's always perfect indoors. Especially going from indoors to outdoors was a little tough for me at the beginning because we had to travel a lot and going from different cities and playing a bunch of different conditions and stuff was tough. But I'm back to liking outdoor tennis right now. And but definitely looking forward to playing indoors. Hopefully with that challenger coming up.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that your love of outdoor tennis was not taken away. That is reassuring, I won't lie. But, you know, just a couple more and then we'll wrap up. But, again, for that college tennis experience, not only is it you get a new group of players to hit with, you also get a new coaching perspective, right, from Coach Pedroso, from Coach Brown, the group there. Was it nice to hear, you know, a different perspective? Was it nice to have on-match coaching? What did you take from those experiences that, you know, you may not have experienced had you not had college?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to have a different opinion in your game and to get a person, get a different eye for your game. But, they didn't try to change too much in my game because, we were always playing matches and it was a short 4 months together. But, those guys are all super good, and they know a lot about this game. And it was definitely really helpful getting to know them and learning about their opinions of tennis and in my game.
Yeah, and you know, you got to travel to Chicago for the indoors, to Orlando for NCAAs, throughout the country. But make the case: is Charlottesville the number one college tennis town in America?
Yes, it is.
How is that environment at the Boar's Head? I mean, because you watch highlights of a match at the Boar's Head, and you're like, this place is rocking.
Yeah, I mean, indoors at Boar's Head is unlike any other. I mean, there was a couple matches last year where, I mean, it was crazy atmosphere in there. And also at outdoors, too. I mean, there's the community is so vested in our program, and yeah, it definitely helps when you're competing out there to know that everybody's supporting you and rooting for you.
Yeah. Last question, and then we'll get into our rapid fire, and this will set the tone. Actually, I'll save that one for rapid fire. So, okay. Last question for you, tennis wise. Just, you know, you play it again. You go 17-5 in singles, 20-3 in doubles. The success you've had thus far on the professional tour, on the challenger circuit. It sounds like a blow dryer is going off in the background, but that's just a little apology for the listeners. But my question for you, tennis wise. Given all of the success you've had, given that it seems like your game is confident, what would you say you do best on the court right now? If people are watching Brandon Nakashima, what should they expect from you on the court?
Yeah, so right now I think, just staying solid at the baseline has really been the main focus for my game right now, and being aggressive when possible. So, I've also been trying to add some more variety into my game a little bit and not give my opponents like the same look every time. So, I mean, yeah, just playing solid at the baseline and staying mentally focused throughout the whole match has definitely helped me in the last couple of months.
Would you describe yourself as sneaky quick?
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe more that I anticipate a little well, but I mean, I wouldn't really consider myself super fast, I would say.
I would say sneaky quick. You move well. I mean, again, who am I? You're like, I've never seen you. You don't know what tennis looks like. I'm just saying, you know, I think it's nice. You should pride yourself on your movement. You're damn fast. But yeah, with that in mind, and with my hot takes being out there now, there's one last thing I like to do with our listeners, give our fans one last chance to learn about them. It's our rapid fire segment. More in that, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions and you take them however you want. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, then Westhoff, give me a rapid-fire sound effect, please. Start here. This is to incite you to come back to college tennis. You're going to tell me you saw the ITA preseason rankings come out with Carl at number one, and you're like, I think I can do better than that.
it was definitely really cool to see him at the top of the rankings during the preseason. But, we've had a lot of good battles on the practice court. So, he had obviously a really good season last year. So, hopefully he'll continue playing well.
Talk about another kid in need of a haircut. But we'll stick with the theme of UVA tennis players. Again, in college tennis, so much of your time spent with your teammates, practicing, going to matches, in between matches, on and on and on. So I want to ask you some teammate-centric questions. Your favorite practice partner at UVA?
Favorite practice partner? Either Carl or William Woodall. I mean, all the guys were really cool to practice with, but I mean, Carl was always super focused on the court, and it definitely helped for me. And then Woodall, always being fun on the court, on and off the court. definitely helped me relax a little bit and not get too caught up in a lot of stuff.
I like it. Well, then, in terms of getting caught up, the teammate most likely to hook you during practice? Because you know it gets competitive. It always does.
Yeah, it definitely does. Let's see. I'd probably say Henrik or Ash. I mean, they probably do it like more in a joking way, but I mean, sometimes they would call it a little close at times.
I'll say this. You are not the first UVA player to have been his teammate to nominate Ashwin Leeson. And maybe he'll want to come on and defend himself, but you are not the first, Brandon. So I'm noticing a theme here. But all right, the teammate you would least like to room with on a road trip?
Least like to room with? I'd either say either Carl or, I don't know. I mean, I mean, all the guys are cool to hang around with. But I mean, Carl, I feel like is always so focused, especially during like the tournaments and the matches. So I mean, sometimes I like to have a little fun in the room.
Yeah. You're like, there's a bubble around him. You're like, I'm not trying to, you know, burst that bubble. Yeah, uh-huh. No, completely understand. Sometimes that's just the way. All right, well, I'll give you a chance to respond. In your opinion, and you can say yourself, the funniest member of the UVA men's tennis team.
Jesus, this is a tough one. Either Henrik or Woodall is pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, just from raw humor, yeah, probably Henrik and Woodall. I'd say probably as a person who doesn't try to be funny, but just is funny, is Ryan Getz. I mean, all those guys are so fun to be around.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, then I'll keep two more teammate-centric, and then we can move on. But the cheapest member of the team.
Cheapest member. I'd either say Matt Lord or Gianni Ross.
Oh, that's funny. All right. And then the last one, your favorite to go out with. In your 4 months in Charlottesville, it's a Friday night. Your mind's off tennis. You're like, hey, I'm going out. Who are you calling?
Either probably Henrik or William Woodall. I mean, Woodall especially is so crazy. When we go out, and always has so much energy. I mean, it's always fun to be around him.
No, I'm glad to hear it. Good, and that's a good answer. Again, I'm all in on that, but I'll let you keep it PG. You don't have to throw it in the bus. Too fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, for you, Brittany, you said you like to have fun in the room. When you are not playing tennis, what are you up to?
I like to play other sports in my free time, especially golf on my days off. Just hitting up the driving range is always fun. And, maybe during tournaments, I don't know, in the hotel room, just watching movies and Netflix. I usually do when I'm not studying.
Sure. Well, then be honest. You say you golf. What feels better, hitting that perfect ace down the tee or hitting that perfect drive 250, 300 yards down the center?
I mean, the drive right down the middle does feel pretty good at times, but also the ace at certain moments during the match, it also feels pretty good. So I probably have to go with the ace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just scream like a talented contact point type of guy. Like, I could see you ping pong, same thing, where it's just like you find the zone and it's just nasty. So, like, that driver, again, I've heard your serve, I've heard your forehand, the pop must be nice.
Yeah. Sometimes when I make contact with the ball, sounds pretty good.
Good. I'd like to see. Maybe someday we'll hit the link. So you would know. Like, everything for me is shank right. It's the Woodall serve. It's just like a little off. All right. Well, then, how about this? You've played ITA. You know, you've played Junior U.S. Open. You've played U.S. Open qualifying, NCAAs. Your favorite environment that you've played in?
Probably right now. Probably that college environment, maybe during one of the home matches or during NCAAs. I mean, that environment is always so much fun to be around. And hopefully I have a couple more fun environments during that professional level in the future.
Oh, I didn't ask about it. Thank you for reminding me. That Stanford match, playing the way you did against Rotsart, I think you clinched, if I remember correctly, and if not, clinched were one of the close to the end. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like, just getting to do that at home in front of the home fans?
Yeah, it was definitely really cool, that experience, playing the last match of the season at home, the last home match of the season against Stanford. I mean, obviously, is one of the most storied programs in college tennis. So that atmosphere and that match was super fun, and it was really fun for all the guys to be a part of that.
And they were probably a team that thought they had you in their grasp. They were like, oh, that could have been ours. So that must have felt additionally good. But all right, we'll go three non-core ones. Your favorite meal?
Meal, like breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or specific?
You can give me – you know, no one's ever asked me that specific of a question, so I appreciate the follow-up. Let's go breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Probably dinner. It's probably my favorite, I would say.
And your go-to dinner is?
I mean, some of my favorite restaurants are probably the Cheesecake Factory or, I don't know, Olive Garden or Outback Steakhouse. I mean, I always liked steak and pasta is always super good.
God, you have played way too many tennis tournaments. That is the tennis tournament rotation.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the last few months.
Yeah, exactly. You're in Fairfield. You're like, all right, where's the nearest Chipotle? Just like, get me food, and then I'm going to the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, during that week at Fairfield, I mean, I was eating, I think, pretty much every day. But I think now I'm like sick of it.
Hey, you're still in college mode. You're 18. You're allowed to do that. All right, your go-to warm-up song?
If you ask some of the guys on the UVA team, I think they might give you a pretty funny answer to that. But I probably shouldn't say anything. But
All right, I'll keep that as a follow-up.
Yeah.
For sure. I'll ask Coach Pedroso if we ever get him on. All right, well, then we'll go off-script here. You mentioned you're a mellow guy. Our name is Cracked Rackets. The last time Brandon Nakashima cracked a racket?
Never.
Never?
Not during a match, never. I think... I mean, maybe once. I mean, one, maybe already because one of my friend's rackets was broken, and I just broke it just for fun. But never during practice or during a match.
You're telling me Lord like hooks you during practice, and you don't just slaughter a babolat. You're just like, it's done for you, my friend.
No, never. I can't even think of a time where I would in the future, actually.
That's a good answer. Very, very respectful answer.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a time in the future where I do end up breaking it, but I mean, I can't think of it.
Well, then you can go with either silence or an answer on this next question, but if you plan on going pro before January, just remain silent. No.
Wait. say the question again, sorry.
No, it's okay. I said, if you plan on going pro before January, remain silent.
Oh. I have no comment.
Yeah. West off, leave all of that in because that sets the scene so well. Well, then, Brandon, I had to ask again, but thank you so much for taking the time to come on tonight. Congratulations again on all of your recent success from the college season to, you know, round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinal. It's only fitting that you make the finals this week on the natural progression up the chart. And good luck to you as you know, make your decision about college versus pros, and know that we would always love to have you back on the Cracked Interviews podcast.
All right. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Take care, Brandon.
All right. Thanks.